Now, last week, we took a closer look at Matthew chapter 1. We looked at Jesus' family tree. And in this exploration, we learned that no person is ever too messed up, broken, or lost to be connected to Jesus' family tree, because we discovered it's pretty crazy. Jesus came to make us at home in God's family forever. So this week, As Cheryl talked about, we're going to look at home hurts. Those things that cause us pain and suffering close to home. There are home hurts that occur by nature, things we can't control. A loved one who has a prolonged disease or illness, someone in our family battling addiction, somebody who's lost a job, a couple that's dealing with infertility. Other home hurts, however, happen because of nurture, something we can control. Favoritism, neglect, abuse, rivalry, abandonment, absenteeism, unfair expectations, lack of support, loneliness. Hurt can come when parents try to relive their sports careers and dreams through their children, causing their children to feel inadequate or under pressure. There can be a cyclical aspect to hurting homes, unhealthy patterns, behaviors, choices, communication, words, attitudes that are passed down from one generation to the next. Phrases like, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, like father, like son, can have an uncomfortable level of truth to them. And we see this in the scriptures. For example, what is said of King Aman is said of many Testament kings. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh his father had done. He walked in all the ways in which his father walked, served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. He abandoned the Lord, the God of his fathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. Now, in our gospel reading today, we see another family who has experienced its fair share of hurt. Yet in this hurt, we discover three gospel truths to guide us when our own homes hurt. As we heard in our gospel reading this morning, Zechariah and Elizabeth were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments of the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. So gospel truth number one, Zechariah and Elizabeth remind us that faithful believers live in brokenness too. Luke says both spouses were righteous. Both walked in God's words, walked in God's ways. But they grieved a lifetime of infertility. And now, both advanced in years beyond the age of childbearing. So for Zechariah and Elizabeth, it seems that all hope is gone. And if that wasn't enough, the absence of children in Judaism brought varying levels of reproach and shame. For at that time, a woman's greatness was measured by the greatness of the child or the children that she bore. So here's the power of faith. Even when home hurts, Zechariah and Elizabeth still walked obediently with God. When their life was broken, when life didn't seem fair, husband and wife resolved not to be victims. They didn't wallow in self-pity, dwell in all the ways that they had been wronged in life, blame each other, or angrily turn from God. Rather, they continued to walk in with their Lord by faith. As we heard from our reading from Romans, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, that we're not just survivors of life's school of hard knocks, that no matter what our hurt is, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Now, this text continues from Luke. While Zechariah was serving as priest and was on His division was on duty according to the custom of the priesthood. He was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and Zechariah was troubled. And when he saw him, fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." So gospel truth number two, God was with Zechariah and Elizabeth in their hurt, and his ears heard their every prayer. Your prayer has been heard. As the priest on duty, Zechariah was probably praying for the Messiah to come, praying for the repentance and the well-being of Israel, and was probably praying for a child. And even when the days became weeks and months and years and decades, Zechariah and Elizabeth continued to pray, to wait, to hope in the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And that day in the temple, the angel bore good news. Your son Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Those words continue to assure us that the Lord is with us and delights himself to hear our prayers. Pastor Randy Rozelle of St. Peter Lutheran Church shares the following story. When a couple I know had moved to Buffalo, they desperately needed new tires on their minivan in order to pass the state inspection and get licensed in New York State. The problem, their home, literally someone's guest house at that time, hurt financially. They didn't have $500 to their name, not even close. They didn't want to ask their families or new employers for help either, hence they didn't tell one earthly soul of their desperate need. They did go to the Heavenly Father in prayer, and believe it or not, within 1 week they had a surprise letter in their mailbox from a very distant family member. And in the letter was a short note that read, quote, "We feel like we should send you this." And inside there was a folded check. And can you guess the amount? Exactly $500. No less, no more. Exactly what they needed. New tires on the van. They had never received any letter like this from their relatives before or after, but God in his faithfulness heard and answered their prayer, and 1 week later, their van passed state inspection and got their new plate. So looking at that story, that account, God is with us in our hurt, and his ears are always attentive to our prayers. Against all biological odds, Zechariah and Elizabeth conceived a child in their advanced age, just as the angel said. A child from their own womb was not only the prayer that God has heard, it was one that he was about to answer. In Luke chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, Gabriel continues saying, "He, your son, will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God and will go before him, the Messiah, in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." The Messiah was about to break into the world. And Zechariah and Elizabeth's child was going to serve as the Messiah's forerunner and prepare people for him. And when the Messiah came, he was no stranger to hurt. On the run from murderous Herod, long travels to Egypt, childhood years spent in a foreign home, travels back to Nazareth in Galilee. And as we know, Jesus' hurts only got worse. We heard in our reading from Isaiah this morning, the suffering servant portion of Isaiah, in which we read or read or heard, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, and by his wounds we are healed. So that brings us to gospel truth number 3. Jesus not only knows our hurts firsthand, but he carried them for us. Jesus was forsaken, abused, mistreated, abandoned by his closest friend. But Jesus knows and carries our hurt. And we can trust him fully whenever and however our home may hurt us. For in him we are always loved, fully received, never forsaken, given rest, showered with grace and peace. So that whatever hurt you might be carrying today, Jesus knows it, listens to it, cares about it, and carries it with you. Jesus is God's answer to all of our hurting homes now and for the life to come. Amen.